You're listening to 3CR
Community Radio.
855 AM.
Like most communities, 3CR staff, programmers and volunteers are working remotely and producing their shows from home for the time being due to COVID-19. So some things will sound different as some programmers will present or produce their shows on the phone, via online platforms or other creative methods. But we are still here giving you up-to-date, radical, alternative and critically engaged content 24/7 during this time. You're listening to 3CR Community Radio's May Day 2020 special broadcast. Well, you'll hear coverage of social and political responses to COVID-19 on workers around the world, a history of the May Day struggle, First Nation news, workers' songs, and much more. My name is MV. In the next half hour, you'll hear a conversation I conducted with Perrine Minhas, organiser with the United Workers Union. We speak about the Undocumented Migrants Solidarity Campaign, the COVID-19 fundraiser, and broad conversation on migrant workers, in the context of workers' rights in the current social and political landscape in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, capitalist and colonial views on migrant workers, and how May Day is a time to celebrate and acknowledge the valuable contribution of all migrant workers in so-called Australia. Here is the first part of the conversation. You're listening to 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM, digital and streaming via 3cr.org.au/streaming. Please describe your background as a person that is in solidarity with undocumented migrant workers.
So I'm Perrine and I work as an organiser at the United Workers Union, and I work in the food manufacturing industry with predominantly workers who are from migrant backgrounds from Southeast Asia and Asian countries. Their visa status ranges from being an international student, being a temporary resident, and a lot on bridging visas. A lot of workers who kind of move in between being documented and being undocumented. I'm of Indian descent. My parents were migrants to Australia. Yeah, I'm very lucky to live here. I'm very lucky to have the standard of living that I've been able to enjoy. And they faced these struggles like 20 years ago when they came here. It was difficult for them, and it's difficult for a lot of migrants. And I think that when you grow up as like a first generation migrant, it's difficult and it's weird, and you feel that sense of displacement and also this sense that you kind of need to give back to the communities and also understand how important migrants are to this country. Like, we don't exist without them, and we don't exist especially with undocumented migrants who do all of the work and who are essential to our communities.
And to contextualize this conversation for our listeners, who is an undocumented migrant worker?
So there isn't just one type of undocumented migrant worker. People can become undocumented workers at various points while working. An example could be that refugees who are currently in the middle of their applications and who have cases in court or who've had their cases refused through kind of like these fast track asylum seeker processes can become undocumented for a period of time. And then, you know, workers can be undocumented for a while and then become documented again. Because of the crisis that we face at the moment, there are undocumented workers in this country who've, you know, who've arrived with a visa and who've overstayed, and they end up in farm work and in factory work. They've migrated on temporary visas and who are under significant debt that they have to pay to middlemen and for this thing called recruitment for their travel to Australia and to contractors. You'll find that undocumented migrant workers, they work predominantly in the services that are essential to our country. They manufacture the food that we eat. They work on farms. They work in the food processing industry. They clean the spaces that we live in. They work as cleaners. They work in construction. They work in all of these fundamental industries that keep our society functioning.
It's such a rot of the system and such an exploitative way in binding people to a contract and putting restrictions and boundaries on their freedom of movement. The next question is quite a rudimentary question.
However, why and how was a solidarity group formed?
The group was formed kind of as we found ourselves in the COVID-19 crisis, and with everything getting worse with the coronavirus over the past month or so, and the government started to announce JobKeeper payments and JobSeeker payments, and they started to make some inroads for the rest of society, but a lot of people who are being left behind in this. The aim of the group was there are thousands of undocumented migrant workers in this country, and we need to be acknowledging that, and we need to be advocating for them, and we also need to be fundraising for them to directly give to these workers. And undocumented migrant solidarity have also worked with them, have had personal experiences, and all of us come from similar and different backgrounds. You know, everyone is a person of colour, which we thought was really important for this in the shared experiences that we have. It's unionists, lawyers, and people who, you know, work in public health, work in multicultural services, who've come together with this shared aim that this is really important and we need to be doing something about it. There are whole industries that are structurally reliant on the workers without visa status. And it's been acknowledged about how industries of critical importance to our economy, you know, are so reliant on migrant workers and are so reliant on undocumented migrants that in a place like this where there is a public health crisis, industries are shutting down, work is getting scarce in a lot of areas. Who's going to help people who are undocumented if they contract COVID-19, and who's also going to help them if they don't have any work? And, you know, it should never be a choice between work and your health. How can we make this a bit easier for those people and for people who are experiencing that?
I'm a child of migrant parents that experience classism and racism, who are both underpaid and invisible to mainstream communities. And so from a personal perspective, this topic is so visceral for me. In your opinion, what are the most important issues that relate to undocumented migrants and, more broadly speaking, migrant workers? And how does that underpin the crux of this movement and the group's campaign in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic?
The main part of our campaign and the main thing that we're trying to bring awareness about is that everyone needs to be included in a pandemic response, regardless of their legal status, regardless of who they are, and specifically undocumented migrant workers who are so important to us. They need to be able to seek treatment and safety and employment without fear of detention or deportation during a pandemic. And yet this is a campaign that is specific for undocumented migrant workers, but you know, it's underpinned by this country is built on colonialism, and our systems and our institutions are still unbelievably colonial, and the experience of migrant workers in this country is appalling. You know, we rely so heavily on the work that they do, and they pay tax and they generate so much money for our economy. You know, we have this health crisis, they're completely forgotten, and like we don't survive without them. It's almost like an out of sight, out of mind thing that we've told ourselves for so long, you know, that this doesn't exist. You know, it's an opportunity where we need to face that there are people in this country who face extreme inequality, and it's kind of a mirror of almost like our underlying social fabric that these people are important, and making sure that we have, you know, we stand in solidarity with people who are vulnerable, not just undocumented migrants, but migrants as a whole and people from different backgrounds, you know, who are disproportionately affected by this pandemic, who aren't going to be okay. It's across the board, right? I think there have been some really great things that have come out of this, of like mutual aid and community-based responses. And that's what it needs to be. As a community, we need to acknowledge that these people are really important and they've come to a country where they face unbelievable racism, are so vulnerable to exploitation. And we need to break down those barriers, and we need to break down kind of these colonial institutions that continue to govern us so that we can, you know, we can really create change during this and as a community stand up against it.
Last year, the Sydney Morning Herald published an article entitled "Amnesty Calls Grow Amid Rampant Use of Black Market Farm Labour," and it made the following comments. Begin quote, "There is a black economy and there are a number of workers that are undocumented and living in the country. An amnesty would undermine the integrity of Australia's visa programs and would encourage non-compliance and further worker exploitation," end quote. So with such comments, what does that mean for undocumented migrant workers in relation to the work that they do?
I think a big part of that article was actually Putri, who's a farm worker, shared her story. And I actually have the privilege of working with Putri. And I think it's really, really important to talk about what she said in that article, where she, so Putri is a farm worker who came from Malaysia, who now works at the United Workers Union, and she migrated to Australia in 2016 and then worked at a number of farms across Victoria and New South Wales. And she talks about her experience where she would make $200 to $300 a week, which equated to a bit over $10 an hour, while paying $110 a week to a contractor to sleep in a room with three other people. And she talks about her experience where she says she didn't have money to go back overseas and then to go back to Malaysia, and that she would also need to pay rent and transportation to the farmer and to the contractor. With that contractor who she had a contract with, she wasn't able to go out. She had to use his transport, and she had to tell him if she needed to go out shopping because he had to take her to the shops. And the reality is that's the state of workers, and that's the state of migrant workers working in farms across this country. So when there are comments from the government and from, you know, politicians saying that an amnesty isn't the answer, or that there's a black economy and this sort of stuff, they're dehumanizing the fact that undocumented workers are so integral to our economy. Farms, food, cleaning, construction, they need undocumented migrant workers. And there are at least 100,000 undocumented migrant workers within Australia, and they're doing the work that's vital for us. And they're on the front lines, you know, they're on the front lines of this crisis, and celebrating them is making sure that they have the same rights as everyone else in this country, and it's protecting them and giving them an ability to live in this country in the standard of living that the rest of us enjoy. There's no difference between us and them. They're doing the work that we rely so heavily on, and they need to be properly acknowledged for that.
The Undocumented Migrant Solidarity Group is calling for amnesty for undocumented migrants, with one of its demands being Medicare for all, irrespective of one's financial position or visa status. We are now navigating a space that is bound by physical distancing measures and restrictions in response to COVID-19. Where migrant workers are likely to be considered at high risk. Please comment.
This notion of migrant workers being considered high risk arises because they're being left behind. We're in a situation where they have, you know, the government has decided to help a portion of the population with some of these Centrelink payments that will be given out, but there is no mention of migrant workers in it. If you're a migrant in this country trying to pay your rent, trying to put food on the table for your family and trying to survive, the luxury of being able to choose between your health and work doesn't exist. the choice is that you need to go to work. You have to go to work, and you have to continue to work through this crisis, which does put you at risk, and it puts the people around you at risk. There is no assistance that you can access. You don't have a choice. If an undocumented migrant tried to access healthcare and tried to access medical advice before COVID-19, their information can get passed on to Department of Home Services, and they could potentially be deported. In the context of COVID-19, a couple of states have announced that they would create a firewall and they wouldn't necessarily pass that information on, but it only relates to COVID-19. So I guess, you know, it's very unclear, and it's not, I don't know of anyone who's tested it, because it puts the undocumented worker in a very vulnerable position. People should never have to make a choice between their health and between their health and safety and between work. And that's the position that our government has put them in, that our country's put them in.
You've just listened to the first part of my conversation with Perrine Minhas, where we begin to discuss the rights of migrant workers, their experiences and obstacles, and the call for amnesty for undocumented migrant workers. Stay tuned for the second part of our conversation, where we continue this broad discussion. We'll be back after these announcements.
Isolated? Quarantined? Need some essentials but can't leave the house? Or just having a hard time dealing with everything at the moment? Queer Aid NAM is a new mutual aid group of organised volunteers. We're here, we're queer, and we've got your back. Whether or not that's how you identify, nobody should be suffering because capitalism or the state didn't provide what they needed. That's why we're working to strengthen our communities through solidarity. Put in a request for help and we'll match you with a volunteer in your area who can either pick up groceries or other essentials for you, help you run errands, cook meals for you, or check in with how you're going. If you or someone you know is having a hard time, or if you want to join the volunteer list, find us on queeraidmelbourne.org or search for us via Facebook, COVID-19 Queer Aid NAM Melbourne. So tell your family and your friends, and don't forget your neighbours. That's queeraidmelbourne.org, a 3CR supporter.
You're listening to 3CR 855 AM on digital and on the internet. www.3cr.org.au.
An important message from the Victorian Government about coronavirus. To manage coronavirus and save lives, immediate action is required. This means if you can stay home, you must stay home. Yes, it's a major disruption to your lives, but this disruption today will save the lives of many Victorians tomorrow. If you think you may have coronavirus, call the government's hotline on 1800 675 398 or visit coronavirus.vic.gov.au. Victorian Government, managing this together.
A 3CR supporter.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM, digital and live streaming via 3cr.org.au/streaming during our May Day 2020 special broadcast. My name is MV. In the second part of my conversation with Perrine Minhas, an organiser with the United Workers Union and a member of the Undocumented Migrant Solidarity Group, we discuss the rights of migrants in the context of access to healthcare, the government's non-inclusion of migrants in the COVID-19 budget, and continued discussions in maintaining solidarity with all migrant workers.
Well, that brings me on to my next point. So there are between 60,000 and 100,000 people without visas currently living in Australia, and migrants and or immigrants use public benefits at a lower rate than native-born citizens. And undocumented migrant workers experience extreme exploitation and labour abuses, all for economic benefit, especially, as you have mentioned, supermarket supply chains. What can happen to these workers if they cannot access basic workers' rights? For example, healthcare and paid sick leave.
You know, when I speak from my own experience, and a lot of our families, like our parents moved to Australia for a better future and for a different life. That's the same reason why why most immigrants and most undocumented workers come to Australia. You know, it is for a better life, and they come here and they're so vulnerable to exploitation. They pay taxes, they contribute to our economy, regardless of whether they did that or not. They shouldn't have to face the treatment that they face. They generate billions of dollars for our economy. These industries that are part of supermarket supply chains, and these supermarkets generate profits of billions and billions of dollars every single year off the backs of undocumented workers. And then they can't access basic rights. They can't access healthcare. Most of them don't get paid sick leave. Their life is almost in the hands of someone else. If it's not, you know, the person that they're working for, it's their contractors. And if it's anyone who's kind of in control of them, they don't even get the basic stuff that I think people in this country feel so proud to talk about, and the Australian dream that we talk about, but it's so unattainable for a migrant, and they're not even considered part of the picture of it, which is just ridiculous. And, you know, you look at our population and we're supposed to celebrate ourselves for being so multicultural, but it's so easy to turn a blind eye and to leave these people behind who we need. You know, we don't exist without them.
On March 22, the government announced that a total of $189 billion is being injected into the economy by all arms of government in order to keep Australians in work and businesses in business, which they describe as a second stage of its economic plan to cushion the economic impact of the coronavirus and help build a bridge to recovery. I've read the statement, and it's not surprising that there is no mention for migrant workers, including most visa holders, international students, and undocumented migrants. Nothing is mentioned in that announcement. Can you please make a comment on that statement?
Yeah, I found this statement quite funny. You know, the government side of this is we get in the middle of a public health crisis, and suddenly anyone who's not like an Australian citizen or, you know, a permanent resident doesn't matter and isn't part of this country. Undocumented migrants, all migrant workers, international students contribute so much to the economy and contribute so much to our communities and a part of our society, and they're getting left behind. The government's response to the coronavirus says a lot about our underlying, you know, economic and social fabric, about, you know, the economic and social inequality that's always been evident in Australia, but that a crisis like this really amplifies it. To the extent that migration is really critical and is crucial to our economy and to our labour market, we rely so heavily on what migrants bring, but then it comes to a crisis like this, and where it requires the government to acknowledge that and to take care of these workers and treat them the same as everyone else. And I think this comes back to how colonial these institutions are and how much that runs deep, where, you know, I think this comes down to they're just not considered us. It comes like it's an us and them thing. And when there's a public health crisis and when borders are closing, they're suddenly not us. But when we need, you know, tax from them, and when we want them to work jobs that we need, and when the government needs the revenue, then, you know, then they're part of this country and everything is great.
I can't agree more on that last comment you made, the us versus them. It feels very real at times. And as the narrative that you have pointed out in this interview, that undocumented migrant workers and migrant workers are usually left behind and are never part of the conversation. Lastly, how can listeners obtain more information on the Undocumented Migrant Solidarity Group and its campaign? And in what other means can listeners help in terms of pushing for the call for amnesty and also maintaining appropriate and culturally sensitive solidarity?
The Undocumented Migrant Solidarity Group have a Facebook page called Undocumented Migrant Solidarity, where we're posting a lot of information and updates on our crowdfund. At the moment, we're at $50,000, which is awesome, and it's really, really incredible. Our goal is $60,000, and we've kind of broken up how we'd like the money to be distributed. So it does mean we're a little short. I know it's a really difficult time and kind of for everyone, and a lot of people are facing financial pressures, but if you have a little bit of extra money, we would really appreciate it. And there's information on our Facebook page in relation to material aid and resources that if you know anyone who's in a difficult situation or who is an undocumented migrant, you can point them to. And we also list our five demands and a petition that would be awesome to get as many signatures as we can to put as much pressure as we can on governments and institutions to take action for undocumented migrants. I think Australia has changed a lot over the past couple of weeks. I think this is the first time that we're having that conversations about class and about race are being had by people across the board, and conversations about, you know, about essential workers who were previously invisible, but now their work is suddenly being recognized as vital and being recognized as on the front line. They're paid poverty wages. If they're lucky, if they're paid the minimum wage, usually it's well below the minimum wage. And I think that this is an opportunity for people to know the role of undocumented migrants, for those stories to be shared and for them to be part of the narrative of Australian society. Because, you know, for too long they've been invisible. We haven't thought about them, but they're part of the workers and they're part of the people who are on the front line. And it's an opportunity to build a community that is inclusive of them, to rebuild class solidarity as well, and to look beyond like our groups and our circles into what the experience is of a migrant worker in this country, and especially of a migrant worker, you know, without legal status, and make sure that even after this crisis is over, that amnesty isn't just because we're in a public health crisis. Undocumented workers deserve amnesty. These are conversations that need to continue, and this is action that needs to continue to happen even once this crisis is over and even when we come out from the other side of this. On a day like May Day, the state of Australia's workers has changed a lot. You know, the working class is no longer white, and we need to acknowledge that. And the working class in this country is also, it's so broad, and it covers people from different backgrounds with different visa statuses, you know, across industries, and we need to include them in these conversations. We need to include them in these struggles, and they're at the forefront of these struggles. You know, migrant workers' experience in Australia and their ability to survive in this country is completely different to everyone else. That's what we need to be fighting for, and that's what we need to be fighting to change.
Perrin Minhas, thank you for taking the time to speak with me about the working conditions of undocumented migrant workers and their rights as they become even further impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. The 3CR community stands in solidarity with all migrant workers in their ongoing fight to obtain appropriate recognition of their labour and work skills. We wish you the best with your activism and advocacy with the United Workers Union and the fundraising campaign of the Undocumented Migrants Solidarity Group.
No problem. Thanks.
That was my interview with Perrin Minhas, organiser with the United Workers Union, speaking about the Undocumented Migrant Solidarity Campaign, where we discuss broad notions on the rights of migrant workers in the current social and political landscape in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic and the detrimental effects of capitalist and colonial views on migrant workers in so-called Australia. For more information, head to facebook.com/undocumented migrants solidarity. And donate to the fundraising campaign via gofundme.com/f/undocumented-migrants-COVID-19-fund. Up next is Dirt Radio discussing the topic, Are Cooperatives the Future? Thanks for listening to 3CR's May Day 2020 special broadcasting. For more information on today's programming, head to 3cr.org.au/May Day 2020.